Okay, well, Drew shows up to Jen's in the middle of the night.
This is my nightmare. Don't ever come to my second story window when I'm sleeping. I will murder you. I will murder you by accident, probably.
I think it's kind of cute, but no, right? Don't.
Or I'll die of a heart attack. One of us will be dead.
Where is it? Ah, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, at Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 422, The Graduate, which originally aired on May 16th, 2001.
We love a May 16th. It's Mother's Day. We're living.
Everything is beautiful.
What a nice little episode for Mother's Day.
Cute.
Because there's little mom references throughout. I love that for us. Well, what's the Dawson's drink for this episode?
We are drinking The Graduate. It is sweet vermouth, Irish whiskey, triple sec, tonic water, and a lemon twist.
Yummy.
Delicious.
Nom, 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 nom. Well, shall I dive in?
Please do.
So episode 422, The Graduate, opens with the principal welcoming the students to graduation rehearsal. Dawson, Joey, Jack, Jen, and Drew are together as he announces that Joey will be delivering a speech at graduation, and he calls her up. Joey admits that she hasn't written it yet and therefore has nothing to share. The principal warns the class not to pull any pranks at graduation and reminds them that security will be watching this space very closely. Pacey rushes in late and is stopped by Mitch, who tells him that he's dangerously close to not graduating. It's not over yet, and the result of his final exam will decide everything. But until then, Pacey is not allowed at anything extracurricular, including rehearsal, because the principal wants him focused on his studying, not wasting time at school events. So Pacey then meets up with his brother Doug and explains what happened. Doug offers to help him study, but Pacey declines. And when it comes to his final exam, Pacey shows up prepared, but his pencil breaks. And when he asks his teacher for another, Mr. Kasdan snidely jokes about Pacey's lack of preparation. So embarrassed and angry, Pacey lashes out and he walks out without taking the final. Joey, meanwhile, tells Dawson that she can't really get started on her speech. She's so distracted and she has a mental block. Dawson believes that her block is Pacey and urges her to talk to him. So she shows up at Pacey's after hearing about this outburst at the final, and she says, "This isn't over yet. There's something we can do." And he bristles at the plural pronouns, the we, the they. This isn't a group project. He's alone on this. And Pacey says that he can't just be friends with her. He can't have her in his life like this. He needs distance. Later, Joey's at home and she's struggling to write her speech until Bessie gives her a letter. It's from their mom. She wrote it days before she passed away, and she wanted Joey to have it on her graduation. Bessie hopes it will inspire Joey. So she takes the letter and takes it to Dawson and asks him to read it out loud. The letter from her mother reflects on pride, love, and resilience, telling Joey she grew up brave and creative and full of promise. The letter urges Joey to always remember Capeside and to cherish the people who shaped her and know no matter what, she was deeply loved. So when it comes to Jack and Toby, Toby wants to define his relationship with Jack. He asks if they're dating, does that make them boyfriends? And Jack says yes, but he cannot say the B word. Toby is really nervous about meeting Andy, who's coming in for graduation. But when they pick her up in the airport, Jack finally says the word and introduces Toby as his boyfriend. And of course, Andy is thrilled. Drew shows up at Jen's house in the middle of the night after fighting with his mother about graduation and how his father isn't coming. He needs somewhere to stay, and Jen lets him stay the night, and later, Graham's lets him stay another night, but only if he helps her pack. Later, Drew convinces Jen to help him pull off a prank. They get caught trying to rig the sprinklers by Principal Peskin, who punishes them by forcing them to sit through his cello performance all night long. Meanwhile, Mr. Kasdan visits Pacey at home, and he asks Pacey if he was prepared for the final that he stormed out of. Pacey says he studied his ass off. And Mr. Kasdan says that Pacey is not stupid, and that students like Pacey are the reason he teaches. The honor students, all those smart kids, won't need him and will never think of him after graduation. But maybe Pacey will. He hands Pacey a pencil and tells him he has 45 minutes to finish the exam. So at the senior party that night, Andy reconnects with Joey and Dawson, and she shares stories about her year in Italy, and she's impressed by how Dawson has handled his breakup with Gretchen. Joey was his first love, but Gretchen was his real relationship. And Dawson says that Gretchen showed him that he could love again and find love after Joey. Andy wistfully admits that she wishes someone thought of her that way, and Dawson assures her that someone does. And that's when we see Pacey arrive, and he sees Joey, and he immediately turns to leave, but he bumps into Andy. They hug and catch up, and Andy mentions that she heard about his breakup with Joey. Pacey doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to know about what life is like outside Capeside. He tells her about a summer job offer working on a boat, but it leaves out of Miami. And he tells her that he passed his final. He's officially graduating. Andy's ecstatic for him and asks why he hasn't told the group. They're all wondering the outcome of his final. And he says that he doesn't owe anyone else anything, but he wanted her to know because she was the first person who believed in him and believed he could be something more than what he was. So Pacey does end up finding Joey at the party, and he tells her that he needs to live his own life for a while. Then he says, if he ever owned another boat and invited the woman he loved to sail away, would she go? Joey says, you wouldn't have to ask. They say goodbye, and he says, I'll see you. So Pacey arrives at graduation early. No one's there. He's taking in the sight of the empty chairs, the empty stage. Meanwhile, at the Potters, Bessie and Joey are rushing out the door, running late. Bessie grabs Joey and puts lipstick on her, just like she did in the pilot episode. And Joey tells Bessie that she doesn't want to get into the details about the letter, but that in the letter, her mom said something that she was right about. Bessie did a wonderful job raising Joey. Meanwhile, at the Learys, Mitch and Gail give Dawson a watch. They're emotional and proud, and Mitch says, when he tells people that his son wants to go to Hollywood, they say he'll be eaten alive. Mitch then says that they don't know his son. Dawson thanks his parents for always believing in him. So Pacey is packing, and he gets a visit from Doug, who tells Pacey in a surprise that he believes that Pacey deserves a summer away. And Pacey's planning to store his things at Doug's and tells Doug that, in a way, he's always looked up to him. And one day, Doug will make a woman very happy. Not sexually happy, but happy. When the McPhees arrive to graduation, Andy tells Jack that she deferred Harvard for a year to stay in Italy, and he's totally supportive. When it comes to the Lindleys, Grams tells Jen that she's so proud of her. And as Dawson and Joey walk up to graduation, he tries to calm her nerves before her speech. And when she gets up to give her speech, it is heartfelt and reflective. She talks about the people she's lost, the ones who still linger in her memory, and how those memories shape who she has become, and how all of their memories will shape who they become. Over her words, we see that Pacey is at the airport, and Joey says that she hopes everyone carries a piece of Capeside with them, echoing what her mother said in the letter. So Drew checks his watch, and the sprinklers go off. It turns out his prank worked. Everyone's laughing, getting drenched, and tossing their caps in the air. And as the water rains down, we see Pacey board the plane while the principal calls out his name at graduation. And that is episode 422, The Graduate.
It's so nostalgic.
Very nostalgic. Lots of feelings. They did a great job of capturing that feeling of just excitement, buzz, hope, ending, goodbyes, new chapter, closing a chapter.
Everything.
Everything.
And Andy McPhee.
Oh, you don't even. She looked so, she really did look like refreshed.
She did.
She looked like new, reborn, renewed.
Easy breezy.
Easy breezy, beautiful cover girl. Andy McPhee is everything to me. Well, who wrote episode 422, The Graduate?
This episode was written by Alan Cross. He was a consulting producer this season, and this is his only Dawson script. Among other things, he had episodes of Veronica's Closet, Star Trek Enterprise, Desperate Housewives, and he created Weird Science, which ran for 5 seasons and 88 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually forgot Weird Science was a show.
I never watched it.
Well, who directed episode 422, The Graduate?
This episode was directed by Harry Weiner. He was first with us for episode 412, The Tay of Pacey. So listen to that episode if you want to hear more about him. And he will be with us for one more episode next season. So again, emotional Pacey episodes. Harry Weiner.
Yeah. I don't enjoy that name. It doesn't bring me joy.
I'll be sure to let him know if I ever come across him.
What about guest cast shout out?
Guest cast shout out is going to David Downs playing Mr. Kasdan. We haven't given him a shout out yet.
That's crazy.
I know. This is his last of 5 episodes with the show. He has 10 acting credits total, including Everwood, Scrubs, and Grey's Anatomy. The reason he only has 10 acting credits is not because he isn't a great actor, but it's because that's not his profession. His profession is being a professor at Northwestern University. He was an acting professor. He taught both Zach Braff and Greg Berlanti.
First of all, I thought you were going to say he died.
No.
I thought you were going to say he only has 10 acting credits because he died. Second of all, someone told us this on Instagram, and I just remembered it when you said the Greg Berlanti thing. Mm. He's Greg Berlanti's acting coach. Yes. Someone told us this.
Yeah, it's crazy. So he got a special thank you shout out on Garden State. And obviously, Greg Berlanti brought him into this. So I did a little bit of digging just to see if I could find more info. And I found someone who interviewed him years ago on the website teendramawhore.com. Is that your website?
Not teen drama whore. Yeah. It sounds like it could be mine.
They asked about the role on Dawson's and how it came about. And he said, in the summer of 2001, Greg Berlanti invited me to stay with him in LA to write a play. One evening, he looked up from a script he was working on and said, "Want to be in Dawson's Creek?" The studio saw the episode and decided to include me in other episodes that season. During the year, I flew to Wilmington from Evanston, Illinois for a few days each time I had to work. It was a great experience.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about it. I think he's cute.
I love him.
No, I'm like attracted to him. Not like cute old man. Like, I think he's cute. So call me. Let's chat. I think he's an attractive man.
Yeah, I am on board with Mr. Kasdan. I think that he's,
I love how uncomfortable it makes you every time I say it.
I love him.
I love him.
I could marry him.
I love Josh. I'm totally crazy, but crazy in love with Josh.
Fountains. That's from Dying for Sex. The other snippet from the interview that I found really amusing is they asked, "Are you still in touch with any of the cast?" And he said, "No, but a recent alum, Meghan Markle, was just cast as a new regular for the upcoming season of Fringe. I gave her a photo taken of me and Joshua in 2001. It would be fun to visit with him and her sometime."
He sounds so wholesome.
I know. And now he has a connection to the royal family.
Is he alive?
Yeah, I think.
Thank God. I don't want to live in a world where he's not, you know?
David is not only alive, but he's still a professor at Northwestern, and his email is public.
Maybe we can take a class.
Maybe we can. I'm going to send you this link so you can see his cute little face now.
Oh my God, he looks the same.
He does.
Okay, so what about your music moment?
Oh, I thought it was really interesting that there is not a needle drop in this episode until like halfway through. It's like 23 minutes until there's a licensed song. I don't know. I just found that to be a really interesting tidbit.
Yeah, that is.
It's when Bare Naked Ladies plays. That's the first needle drop it plays at the party when they're all showing up. For me, the music moment is Fields of Gold. Again, it's a callback to Great Expectations, which I think is like so masterfully done. Played at the end of Great Expectations, which is the episode where everything blows up with Andy and she's in the hospital. And it plays again here. And it's a nice little bookend. I really, 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 really liked it.
Great Expectations.
Yes.
I like that little nod. I'll see your music moment and I'll raise you Dragmatic. If it's when Pacey sees Joey at the party.
Mm.
It's a very cinematic moment. It's also the song that plays in the series finale when Pacey sees Joey walking up.
Oh, no way.
To the restaurant. And that scene is burned into my brain because, again, this is not a spoiler, but just to talk about the context of the scene in the series finale. No one's seen each other in a really long time. And when he sees her, she's walking up and that song plays. And they did such a good job of capturing that, like returning home, seeing old friends you haven't seen in a while. You're in the same place you grew up. Like, ugh. But hearing it here, I was like, oh my God, that's a song from the series finale. So
that's awesome.
It's such a good song. And it's so Joey Pacey. JC. It's so JC. That's so JC.
I love that. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to make that tie.
Yeah. I put the series finale on every so often.
I never do.
That's crazy to me. Well, it's going to be great when you watch it.
I know. I'm excited.
What about Past versus Prez?
I don't know if I have one. Do you?
When it comes to Past versus Present, you know, I think we've talked about it. I grew up in a small town where like no one really talked about going to TV and film. So that was another reason I kind of related to Dawson. He wanted to be a writer. He wanted to be a TV writer, film writer. And when I told people, they'd be like, "You're crazy. What?" You know? And when Mitch said, like, "Oh, my son wants to go to Hollywood. People say Hollywood's going to eat them up. They don't know my son." And he said, "Oh, thank you for always believing in me." It did kind of remind me of my parents, and it was very cute. And it just felt, so that was kind of weird seeing that. Just knowing that I came out here and I am in it.
Very sweet.
It was a cute episode. I liked this episode.
I agree. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Principal Peskin's back.
Yeah. He's a hoot.
He is a hoot. We learn that Joey's going to deliver a speech at graduation and that she hasn't written it yet. And that they are on high alert for pranks. And Principal Peskin says security will be tighter than Ricky Martin's pants. Nobody reacts.
Which, did we get an insight into Principal Peskin's like sexual preference there? Maybe.
Maybe.
It's crazy to me that they expected Joey to give the speech at the rehearsal.
Yeah, no. Insane.
What fresh hell is this?
This is brutal. So they're all doing this rehearsal and Pacey walks in late. You know, he got caught up doing something else in a different class. And Mitch intercepts him before he gets to his seat and says, you're on the bubble, unfortunately, and you have to pass your last final in order to graduate. And Principal Peskin doesn't want you here. He wants you to be studying, which I thought was good because I was like, why can't he be there? He should be practicing if there's potential that he's going to graduate. But they're like, you should spend every moment studying. And he's like, come on, I did double classes. I sacrificed this whole year. And Mitch is like, I'm sorry. That's not the brutal part. Obviously, that's brutal. But when Pacey's like, please, like I'm under a microscope. I'm under a microscope, like, please just let me in. Knowing their personal relationship, I felt so bad for both of them. Mitch was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't. It's not coming from me.
And most importantly, Mitch got a haircut and it looks great.
He looks great.
He got a buzz cut. He's living.
Yeah.
He got the Pacey true love cut.
I was going to say, maybe he's trying to influence Pacey because Pacey has not gotten a haircut.
This would be a great place to say that Dawson's Creek is back on Netflix.
It's
original theme song, but not all original music.
Yes.
But Run Like Mad is not the theme song on Netflix. But I did find out something very interesting, which is, I don't know, I believe it's Australia, but it might have been UK. During the original run of Dawson's Creek in, I believe, Australia, Run Like Mad was the theme. It was never, I don't want to wait.
On TV, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So when I posted that the original theme is back on Netflix, someone replied and said, like, this isn't the original theme for us. The original theme was Run Like Mad, and we love Run Like Mad. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, people love Jan Arden, as do I. But to me, it's just when it smashes to the title in the creek and it's Run Like Mad, it just doesn't feel
the same.
The same. I love Jan Arden.
I completely agree with you. I used to hate the new theme and now I'm fine with it. But when I get Paula Cole, I'm like, oh my gosh, like it just hits me so much harder.
Yeah.
Poor Pacey.
Pacey runs into Doug, tells him about, you know, the final. Doug offers to help him study, which is really cute.
So cute.
I like Doug.
He's being really, really sincere in this moment.
Yeah.
And Pacey's like, lay off. Get out of here.
Well, Pacey's in a dark place. He's pushing away everyone that cares about him. Although I think one could argue Doug's love has been in and out. It's ebbed and flowed.
Absolutely.
But it's brothers.
Pacey says, why don't you tell mom and dad that I'm living down to expectations and they can go ahead and cancel whatever party I know that they planned for me.
But Doug is genuinely offering to help him. Like, he really wants to help him graduate.
Yeah, he says it multiple times. He really, really wants to.
Joey has a mental block. She cannot write her speech. And Dawson's like, your mental block has a name. It's Pacey.
He says, maybe you should talk to him. It might just help unlock the block.
Unlock the block.
Jack and Toby are washing his car.
Is it a Saab?
I think it is. From the side, yeah. That's what I thought it was.
I think the McPhees drive Saabs. It's canon. Isn't that the car that Andy was driving when she crashed into Pacey?
I think you're right. So they're washing the car and Toby asks Jack to define the relationship. He's like, hey, let's put a label on it. Jack's like, what label? And he's like, boyfriend. Jack's like,
what are we? What even are we?
Jack's like, I'll say it when
I'm ready.
I'm ready. Yeah.
But he's like, are we dating? So that's interesting to me. He's like, we're dating. So that makes us boyfriends. I would argue that if you're dating, it doesn't necessarily make you boyfriends. It means you're dating.
I think when you're in high school, maybe it's different.
Well, I wouldn't know. Thanks for bringing up that painful memory.
I could be wrong. I mean, maybe now I feel like people might be more mature now, but for sure, as adults, if you're dating, it doesn't mean you're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Okay, well, Drew shows up to Jen's in the middle of the night.
This is my nightmare. Don't ever come to my second story window when I'm sleeping. I will murder you. I will murder you.
Yeah.
By accident, probably.
I think it's kind of cute, but no, right? Don't.
Or I'll die of a heart attack. One of us will be dead. You or me.
I just think Drew's so adorbsky.
It is cute. He got into a fight with his mom over his dad and she kicked him out and he needs a place to crash. And Jen is like, fine, I'll give you one night, but you're sleeping on the floor. And he's like, you got it, babe.
What is this kind of quilt called?
I think it's called a quilt.
I love it. It reminds me of the olden days.
I bet Graham's made it.
Oh, I love that. Look at the way this man's eyes just light up the shot.
Yeah, the quilt is a very good color for him. Really makes those baby blues pop.
Boy, you gotta wear quilts more often. I love Capeside High. I love a pillar.
A pillar, a column. We love it.
Yeah, I guess it's a column. Whatever it is, I'm living.
We're at the scene of Pacey's final, and he's writing his name, and his pencil breaks. Just his luck.
It's so funny. I never had pencils and stuff. I never had extras. So this would be me. I was always asking people for pens and pencils.
I'm trying to remember. Did we have to use pencils?
It depended on the test.
Pens?
In math class, you could only use pencils. On standardized exams, you could only use pencils. We were a big no blue ink. Yeah, it had to be black ink school. Mm. We were big on it could only be black ink. But we had pencil sharpeners. That's what I didn't really understand. Where's the pencil sharpener?
Right. Oh, in this scene, you mean? I was at your school? Yeah, I know. No.
In fact, I see a pencil sharpener, I think, by the globe, by the door, when Pacey leaves. Don't you see? Isn't that a pencil sharpener?
I do. Yeah, there's definitely a pencil sharpener in the classroom, for sure.
Maybe Pacey doesn't know how to use a pencil sharpener.
Maybe.
I'm just trying to think of what it could be. The teacher makes a little joke. It's not great. It's very unprofessional. But I think it's mainly harmless and innocent. But Pacey takes it very, he's very sensitive to this. And he storms out and just says, this is what all you people think of me. Why am I here?
He's like, you don't care about me. You care about the honor students. I'm out of here. And you can tell Mr. Kasdan, it really affects him. He heard Pacey. His face when Pacey leaves is a little bit heartbreaking.
It's that oh God, what did I do?
Yes.
Well, Joey arrives. What is Pacey doing when Joey arrives?
He's practicing tying knots, which is such a good call forward. He's thinking about going on the boat.
Yeah. I thought he was learning, doing a kite. I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, no, he's tying knots. I didn't notice that until the second time I watched.
Joey's like, Pacey, I heard about the final. Are you crazy? We have to fix this. And he's like, there is no we. There is no we. There's no us. This isn't a team thing. I'm alone and I can't be near you. We can't be friends. I need you out of my life. I can't be your buddy.
It's tough. He says, I still love you and I probably will for a long time. So I need to get away from you so I can move on, which is true.
I get it.
And it sucks. You got to do what you got to do. Protect your peace. Protect your peace, Pace.
Oh my God, I was just going to say that. I love alliteration. I love alliteration. Look, Joe. I love when he says Joe.
I like how these two, obviously it's been very emotional and the prom night specifically was very emotional. But since then, there's been no hysterics. Nobody's getting crying or getting overly emotional. I think they both understand that this is what it is and this is how it's got to be. I don't know. It just feels very
mature.
Mature. Yeah. Especially for high school kids.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
Joey's at home sitting at the table, not making any progress on her speech. Bessie, the most casual woman ever, sits down and is like, I've got something for you. A letter from our dead mother. She wrote it on her deathbed. Here you go.
Now, wait, jog my memory. Is this the first time? Hasn't Joey's mom left things for her before? Or am I making that up?
Good question.
I might be mixing things up. Either way, I'm not into this Paisley Peacock situation that's happening on Bessie's shirt.
I don't love her look this episode.
It doesn't bring me joy.
I don't know too if it's the haircut. She doesn't look as good as she usually does.
The haircut is insane.
Yeah.
If there's one thing about Bessie Potter, it's she's going to cut her own hair.
And it's never going to be the same twice.
She's going to pinch those pennies and she's going to cut her own hair.
And then halfway through the haircut, she's going to say, I forgot to pick up Alexander. And she's just going to stop and she's going to go get him. And that's how her hair is now.
And she's going to wear a belly shirt with a long skirt.
Absolutely.
She's going to over accessorize.
And she's going to casually tell you that your dead mother has a message for you. And then leave you to read it.
She's going to put a couch on the lawn.
We know that.
She's going to have windsocks.
Vintage Bessie. Well, Toby and Jack are running, and we don't really know why. And, oh, something that I didn't catch until my second watch, too, is in the previous Toby and Jack scene, Toby says, "What if she doesn't like me?" Which was a little hint that somebody's coming that Toby hasn't met before, but we don't know who exactly. And then we're running. Toby and Jack are running. And Toby's like, "Why are we running?" And Jack's like, "She's always the first one off the plane. We have to go." And that's when we kind of realize it's Andy McPhee. She comes running up, gives Jack a big hug. So cute.
Honestly, probably my favorite character.
So cute.
Andy McPhee might be my favorite Dawson's character.
That's crazy.
Just seeing her made me so... What do you mean that's crazy? What do you mean?
No, tell me.
She just brings me joy. She just makes me happy. She's a ray of light. She's funny. She's charming. She's silly. She's light. She's crazy. She's me. She's obsessive.
She's all of those things, but also she's dark, deeply depressed, borderline suicidal.
She's me. That's what I just said. I love her so much. She really does look so refreshed and renewed. I really buy that she's been in Italy.
Yeah, love it. And Toby's like, "I've heard so much about you." And she's like, "Who are you?"
And Jack's like, "It's my boyfriend."
He's ready. Didn't take him very long.
I know. I thought it was going to be like an end of episode thing.
And that sets Andy off. She's like, "Oh my God. So nice to meet you."
Toby is fully in on the contacts.
Yeah.
He's like,
he saw the way Jack looked at him.
Oh my God. I was he just opened that say door. That. You're literally we taking the words aligned. Out of my mouth today. Where's Mrs. McPhee? That's what I want to know. I want her at the graduation.
I kind of thought that was who it was going to be.
I want her at the graduation in a robe, eating a sandwich and talking about Tim.
Trimming the bushes along the side of the high school. She loves to garden.
That's what I want.
Well, sad. David Dukes couldn't be there.
I know. I did think about that during the episode. Janet comes home to find Drew still at her house, and he's with Grams. And she's like, "Grams, what are you doing?" And Grams says she invited Drew to stay another night. Jen is a little taken aback and thinks that Grams is being taken advantage of by Drew. And Grams is like, "Oh no, I'm taking advantage of him, actually. The deal is he could stay another night if he helps us pack."
And Jen is like, "I love you, you crazy, I don't know what."
You crazy old bat.
There's a big senior soiree tonight. And Drew's like, "Are you going?" And Jen's like, "Yeah, why? Do you want to ride?" And he's like, "Yeah, can we make a recreational detour first?" And Jen's like, "Uh-oh." The last time Drew wanted to do some recreational stuff with Jen, Andy McPhee ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, great expectations.
Joey brings the letter from her mother to Dawson's house and tells him about it and says, "I haven't had the heart to read it. Can you read it to me?" Which is very intimate. But obviously, Dawson knew her mother really well. So it's very sweet.
Yeah, it's heavy.
The letter basically says, "If you're reading this, you're graduating. Congratulations. I'm sorry you've been shortchanged of a mother. Bessie's strong. I'm sure she's been taking good care of you. And of all the things my illness has taken from me, the one I'll miss the most is watching you grow up." Just so sad.
And no matter what happens, just remember Cape Side and take Cape Side with you. Love, Mom. Oh, Lillian. It's just so emotional.
So emotional.
And then we're at the party.
Andy reuniting with everyone is so cute.
I know. It's just...
I'm not really understanding what this party is. So they're at a restaurant? Are they drinking? Is there alcohol in those red cups?
I'm sure. Yeah.
But they're at a business? They're not just like in a field.
We can't poke too many holes. It's just... Okay. It's a senior soiree, bro.
You know, the senior soiree.
Mr. Kasdan shows up at Pacey's house.
It is the best.
It's so cute.
He comes to his house. He says, "You're not an idiot or a punchline. You're the reason that I teach. The honor students don't need me, but you need me. And did you study for that final?" And he's like, "I studied my ass off." And he's like, "Great. You have 45 minutes. Take it right now." It's wonderful. I love this scene.
And just knowing the story now about how he was Greg Berlanti's teacher, I think, like, is this kind of Greg's nod to say, like, "You were such a good teacher," you know?
It's so sweet.
I think that's very cute. He's being the amazing, inspiring teacher on the show that he was.
Yeah.
In real life.
I love it.
And then we get my dream couple scene, Andy and Dawson.
I wanted to talk to you about this.
I'm so sad we'll never get it. I'm just so sad we'll never get it.
You skipped one scene.
Which one?
Jen and Drew sneaking around with flashlights go to the high school and try to set up the sprinklers to go off the next day at graduation.
And they get caught.
They get caught by Peskin.
Mr. Smithers?
Mr. Burns and Smithers, both.
Oh, but then we go to Dawson and Andy. And Dawson and Andy are everything to me. They should have gotten together. It's crazy that they didn't. I will ship them forever. And Andy is very impressed with how well he's handling the Gretchen breakup. She's like, God, things have changed. You're not obsessing. You're not spiraling. And he was like, well, that was my weekend.
Yeah, but her commentary on how much he's changed and how mature he's gotten is, I feel like it's everything we've been saying all season.
Yeah.
And it's great. She's impressed by him. And he explains to her that, you know, he doesn't regret anything that happened with Gretchen. And she says, I wish I was a memory like that to someone. And Dawson says, I'm pretty sure you are.
You are.
And then Pacey walks into the party.
You're Pandy. You're one half of Pandy, one of the best couples of Dawson's Creek history.
Pacey walks in, sees Joey having the time of her life with Jack and Toby, and turns a corner and sees Andy. And he's like, oh my God. And he picks her up and he spins her around. It's so cute.
I know.
How was your heart in that moment?
I love them so much. My heart was full.
Thank God.
I love her. I love her pants. I like her coral pants.
She looks pretty good. She doesn't always have the best fashion sense.
She fixed her hair. They fixed her hair.
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you this. Peskin brings them to his house. Is that where we are?
I believe.
And every single light is on and the fire is lit?
Yeah.
Man.
And what a house. What a house.
What a house.
The Cape Side principal's salary is... Popping.
Classically, principals get paid so well. Yeah, it's bizarre. But he's like, hey, you guys are my audience. And cello is my passion, but I haven't had a lesson in 10 or 11 years. So here we go. And he's awful, obviously.
And they're missing the senior soiree. And their punishment is to listen to him all night. And then we go to the party with Pacey and Andy. And she's heard about the breakup. He doesn't want to talk about that. He's like, tell me about what's going on outside Cape Side. Tell me about Italy. And he says that he passed his final, which is the first time we're hearing about it. And she's so happy for him. And she's like, you have to tell the others. They're all dying to know. And he's just like, I don't actually have to tell them. This is for me. It's not for them.
And you're the first person who ever made me feel like I could do it. So I wanted to share it with you. He also asks her what it's like to be out there on your own. And she's like, you know, it's scary at first, but then you make friends. And I realized it's not the end of something. It's the beginning of something, which I think is really good insight for him.
Yeah. And he says something like, I really just want to feel the sun on my face tomorrow and go up on stage and just kind of do it for me.
Bask in that.
Yeah. The sun on my face. Soak up the moment kind of thing. A sentiment will come back. And it's very cute. You know, I love Pandy. I felt very satisfied with all of this.
That's really sweet. I'm glad that she got that moment too.
Yeah.
I feel like she deserved a lot of credit for helping him turn himself around.
Yeah.
And she got it.
And she kind of gets that, you know, what she just said to Dawson. I hope someone thinks of me that way. Now she knows someone does. I hope someone thinks of me that way. I don't know if they do. Anyway, Pacey and Joey have this super cute scene. He says, if I am ever lucky enough to get another boat and I ask the woman I love to come sail away with me, would she? And she says, you don't even have to ask. You wouldn't have to ask.
Here's the thing. I didn't know until your recap that that's what she said. I thought she said you would have to ask. No, she says you wouldn't have to ask.
Yeah, she would just go.
That's sweet. Gives it a whole completely different meaning.
And then we go to the moment that Pacey just said, like he's soaking up the sun. The sun's hitting his face. He's in the audience of the graduation alone. It's early morning. He is skipping out on graduation, which we don't know yet, but this is him kind of soaking it in.
Getting that moment.
He doesn't need the ceremony. He doesn't need the dog and pony show. He just needs the diploma and the fact that he did it.
Then we cut to everybody getting ready for graduation, and Joey's running a little bit late. She's frazzled, leaving the house, and Bessie's like, wait, 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 wait. And there's a really sweet callback to the pilot where she runs up to Joey and starts putting lipstick on her face, which is so nice. And then they talked about the letter, and Bessie says, like, I'm sorry that you didn't have a mom. And Joey says, you're wrong. I had two moms. Mm-hmm. And they have a really sweet moment and hug. And then there's a really cute dissolve from Joey and Bessie hugging to Gail and Dawson hugging. Did you notice?
Mm-hmm.
They're like overlaid over top each other. It was really cute.
It's really cute. I love these little just insight. It's like not a montage, but kind of.
Yeah.
Just seeing everybody at their respective houses.
So Dawson's getting ready. Mitch and Gail are there holding Lily, and Mitch hands Dawson a box. It's a gift, and it's a Chanel watch. Okay, Rich.
And it's inscribed, and it says, "If you will it, it is no dream."
And this is when they tell him they believe in him. They believe in him and his dreams, and people think that they're crazy, and they're like, not if you knew him.
Yeah, Hollywood is not going to spit up my son. You know, you don't know him. Like, I know him. And he says, thank you for always believing in me. It's very cute. And then we go to Pacey's house, and Doug shows up.
And he's coming to wish him luck and say goodbye. And Pacey's like, thank you. And Doug's like, do you need help? And he's like, I don't. I just need to store my stuff at your house for a couple months.
Pacey says he's always looked up to him. I mean, I like the scene. The jabs between them does get old for me a little bit. So it was nice that this was a different take on a Doug Pacey scene.
Yeah, they're cute.
Another joke about his homosexuality. I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Pacey's like, you're going to make some girl very happy someday. And he's like, does this mean you're finally accepting my heterosexuality? And he goes, no, not sexually happy.
Jen and Graham's got a nice scene. You know, thank you for being there for me. Thank you for believing in me. Graham's is so proud of her.
Andy and Jack have a cute scene where she tells him that she's deferred Harvard for a year to stay in Italy. And she's happy. And she's like happy for the first time ever. And she can't imagine being happier in any place than where she's at right now. So she's going to do that. And Jack's like, I support it. And she's like, you don't think I'm crazy? And he's like, well, no, you're crazy. But I think it's the smartest idiotic thing you've ever done. And then he says, love you to death, little sis. And she says, love you more, little brother. The mystery continues. How old are these people? We don't know.
I know. It's so weird. And Joey gives this super sweet speech about, you know, how memories make you who you are and how they have so much in common because of this being where they're from, and they should all take Cape Side with them when they leave, like what her mom said to her. And then Drew's prank goes off. But over Joey's speech, we see Pacey approaching the airport, and he skipped graduation, and we hear the principal say his name, but he's not there.
And he's taking a PJ to Miami.
He's rich.
Go off. Go off, King.
Go off, King. He's spending every last cent to get to Miami.
Well, I'm sure he's being flown there by the dean of admissions. The other thing I thought was really cute is Bessie and Gail sat next to each other and kind of embraced while Joey was giving her speech. It was very sweet.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing, because you just reminded me. They never explicitly said in this episode that Pacey is taking that job. Do you think it's the job he was offered last time? You do, right?
I do, yeah.
I did initially, but then I was like, wait, is it a different job? I just didn't know why the dean of admissions would be going out of Miami if he's in Massachusetts. But anyway.
Maybe that's where Mr. Kublik keeps his boat.
Yeah. So Pacey accepted the job. Pacey is going to Miami. He's skipping graduation. So this is how senior year ends for Pacey. He graduated. He's moving on in his own way, on his terms. He got out of Cape Side.
And I love that for him.
It was a great graduation episode. Graduation episodes are hard and they don't always work. And this one did. And I really liked this episode. So I did watch this episode with my partner, and he was like, this is like really touching. He's like, this is really good. Aww. He's like, this is really good. This show's like really good. And I was like, yeah. What do you think? Did you, what? What? But yeah, he really loved it.
That's awesome. You're like, yes, I've been doing a podcast about it for the last 3 years.
He listens to the podcast, but he just doesn't watch the show.
Well, I'm glad.
A few people do that, actually. A few people just follow the show through this, which is wild.
Glad he liked it. I had such a strong, like a visceral reaction to when the sprinklers went off and they were throwing their caps. Like, I just remember that so well from this episode. And then, like, that's all I wanted. This, like, cinematic, Everybody's there together. I didn't get it.
My high school graduation, we didn't wear caps and gowns.
I'm sorry, what?
We wore tuxes, and this isn't a joke. And the girls wore wedding dresses.
What? And you went on weird retreats? What did you say last week?
Every fall, there was a fashion show that the girls went to where, I mean, by wedding dresses, I mean, I think they were like in the 200-300 range. There was like five options, and then all the girls got to vote on which they picked. So everyone wore the same dress.
Everyone wore the same one.
Yeah. But guys wore tuxes. It had to be the same tux. Like, they told you where to go get it. Yeah. Tuxes and white dresses.
It does sound a little like you were in a cult.
It was the best cult of my life. I would go back. It was the best. It was
that's what everyone says about cults.
It was the best time of my life and I loved it. I'd go back in a second. My niece just started there and I'm jealous. And I text her every day and I'm like, what happened at school today? Tell me. But for college, I got a cap and gown, but I didn't go to my Sunday. There was two graduations. There was like your college and then the university, like your college within the university. And I didn't go to my university graduation. I just left.
Interesting. I think ours were on the same day back to back.
I pulled the pacey.
Good for you. Did you get on a boat?
No.
No, you've never been on a boat. We discussed this a few weeks ago.
I never had the experience of throwing my cap. So did you throw your cap?
So my town does graduation outside and it's like a very wonderful, beautiful thing. And it rained our year. So we had to do it in the gym and it sucked. It's fine, but it sucked.
Doesn't sound fine.
I'm still upset about
Sounds like you might be bringing it up in therapy this week.
And my college graduation, the speaker, I don't even remember who he was, but he was like talking about how the middle class is dying and everything's terrible. And it was really not a good pick-me-up speech.
He was way ahead of his time.
I know. I was like, sir, it's 2007. We don't know what you're talking about.
We had the author of Angela's Ashes, Frank McCourt, or whatever his name is.
Wow.
But I didn't go, so I don't know what he said. Well, anyway.
Jenna, who we shouted out in the prom episode, wrote us and told us that her dad relentlessly called the extras casting person until he agreed to let Jenna be an extra in that episode.
That's amazing. Love dads.
Yeah, apparently it was a thing. Heather on Instagram wrote us and told us that she is an extra in this episode and that it was like on all of the Dawson's Creek message boards and oftentimes people would go and meet up in Wilmington and just be extras. And she was one. And now her kids get a real kick out of it.
That's so funny. Someone tagged us in, someone who's catching up with the pod tagged us in like a season 2 episode, I think. And so I reposted it. And then someone replied to that and said, that's the episode I'm an extra in.
That's so crazy. There's a whole community.
I didn't know. Imagine if we had known.
Imagine if we both knew and we met.
Oh my God. What would be? I used to do crazy stuff like that.
Did you?
I skipped school to go to New York City to meet soap stars.
Oh my gosh.
Well, my dad drove me. I was aided and abetted by my dad. Nothing would keep me from my stories and my TV shows. Although Wilmington was far.
You and my grandma were lined up waiting for the soap stars to come out.
I think it's great. I think it's great to show let the fans be extras. That would never happen today. Never.
No, never in a million years. They'd be like, sir, stop calling me or I'm calling the police.
Go to Central Casting, blah, blah, blah.
Everything sucks now.
Yeah.
You can say that again.
Yeah.
Well, what you watching? Or shall we just talk about The Summer I Turned Pretty?
Yeah, let's talk about The Summer I Turned Pretty. How's your rewatch going?
Good. It's over. I've done it. I've completed the task.
You've done it already. Wow.
And honestly, I think I like it. I think that season 3 was really tough for me to get through week to week. I don't think Jeremiah and Belly have any chemistry whatsoever. I really don't. Spoiler alert to anyone who's listening who doesn't want to hear this, but like they're getting married. Yeah, right. In what world?
The only reason I buy it is because they've known each other for so long.
I guess. I just don't think that they have any physical sexual chemistry.
No, I don't either.
And you know who does? Conrad and Billy.
No.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Okay. Belly moving to France. And getting a bob and wearing a slutty red lip and drinking wine and smoking the biggest joint weed I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah. That whole thing was LOL ridiculous. Like she's become some worldly French woman who's...
She lived in France for a year.
Oh my God. It was absurd. What's with all the time jumping? Stop with the time jumping. If you can't tell a linear story and you need to do 2 time jumps in a 10 episode season, there is a problem.
And this is what I don't understand. At the end of one of the episodes, Belly goes to get her hair cut. And then the start of the next episode, Belly's hair is cut. and Conrad shows up at her door. But those two things are a year apart. She's in the same outfit. So that's just to throw us off.
I didn't even notice that, but that's stupid.
Or did she?
I thought she got the bob right. I thought she got the bob in the finale. You're saying she got the bob.
Well, she sits down in the chair. I don't know. But definitely at the end of one episode, she sits down in the chair and the girl's like, are you sure? And she's like, yes. And then at the beginning of the next episode, she has short hair.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think she was just, the bob was like a metaphor, I think, of her like settling into France.
For sure. Of course.
Because if you live in Europe, you can't have long hair. You have to have a bob.
No, you can't.
Everybody knows that.
And you must wear wedge platform heels.
And you have to drink wine. And you have to go, oh, I'm out of town.
I can say from my rewatch that season two was not as bad as I thought it was the first time around. I enjoyed it. Also, I texted this to you today. Never put together that Elsie, the non-binary cousin, Elsie is the actor's name, is the lead in eighth grade. That blew my mind.
I also didn't know that. But the wig really threw me off. The wig, that's all I could look at and see. It's still all I see. When I think of season two, I just think of the wig.
But also, is it a wig? I mean, it is, right?
It for sure has to be.
Because I just saw them like in an interview and they had short hair. And I was like, is this real hair? I don't know, man. But the long and short of it is, I really liked it. I am Team Conrad. I felt feelings in that finale, and I'm happy that there's going to be a movie.
My thing is, if I had to choose, I would be Team Conrad. But the way the show was handled, she could not have ended up with either of them.
I know.
They screwed up the show in between seasons two and season three, and they did the three-year time jump. Because she spent 3 years with Jeremiah off camera, which was a mistake. Because after that, you can't go back to Conrad after you've been in a relationship with one of them for 3 years. And then she can't end up with Jeremiah because she already did end up with Jeremiah for 3 years. So putting her with Jeremiah and doing a three-year time jump was I think the fatal flaw of the show. I just never recovered from that.
Mm.
I enjoyed the season three. Like, I enjoyed the last few, you know, I liked some moments. The music helps that show tremendously, I think, because it just helps me invest in the moments.
It's so good.
But after that time jump, yeah, I had a hard time bouncing back from that. I wish she went 3 years without speaking to either of them or seeing either of them. And then season three was like a reset season where they're all coming back together after college. You know, they're going to do I wish that was the direction the book took or the show. I think this was the plot of the third book.
That's a great point. Not showing the three-year relationship made it really easy to forget the three-year relationship when you actually think about someone being with someone for 3 years and then just dating their brother.
I just never recovered from that because I was like, I don't want to end up with either of them now.
And I kind of thought that that was the way it was going to go because I never read the books and I never looked into it because I didn't want to know how it was going to end.
Yeah.
And I was like, is she going to choose herself after all this? She blew up this family and then it's just going to be about her and Paris.
She blew up that family. She blew up that family. I mean, there wasn't much of a family to blow up after Susanna, is that her name?
Yeah, I kept calling her Joanna, but it is Susanna.
Because the dad sucks. But also, she ruined Susanna's funeral. Like, I don't know how you come back from that.
Belly is a little bit of the villain. She says it in the finale.
Yeah, and I do think when you're that age, you just kind of are a little, you know, you're more selfish and you're
a mess. Yeah.
So it was believable in a way, you know, because no teenager is going to handle grief and all these things perfectly. But I just don't know if there's anything, the public display element of the funeral in season two, I just don't know. Yeah, how do you? But I guess Conrad and Belly, their love is just that strong. They could just come back from anything.
Also, I saw a lot of people commenting that they didn't buy that Jeremiah was a chef. But they really do in this rewatch. They pepper in little bits of him caring about food, nutrition. It's definitely in there in seasons one and two.
Well, he cared so much about the cake, which was baffling at the time because, you know, he cares about baking.
And he also made Susanna all of her like smoothies and stuff while she was dying. Like, there's a lot of little stuff in there.
He was always into making recipes and things. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel about Denise?
To me, I liked Denise. To me, it felt rushed. I wasn't invested. I know I sound like a hater. I only just want the show to be good. Like, I loved season one.
Fair enough.
I love the show. I want the I don't hate it from a place of hate. I hate it from a place of love. But yeah, Denise felt rushed, not invested. Weird. How about you? Also, she looks 10 years older than him.
I like the turn that her character took, but I don't think we needed to force her into a relationship with anyone. She could have just been around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I did like when Stephen and Denise had their little gaming thing because it reminded me of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, that book. Did you read it? You had it in your hotel room when you came last time.
Yeah. Did I read it? No.
They're gamers, and it really reminded me of that. They're like game designers in that book.
I liked their friendship a lot, and I liked that they had them try to be romantic and realize that it just wasn't their path.
The thing for me is, too, with The Summer I Turned Pretty, I love season one. I've rewatched it so many times, and I hated season two because of all the house stuff. But then I realized I think the house stuff was the only thing I hated about season two.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then I think season three is by far the worst season. And I just, when a show gets worse every season, it's like so discouraging.
The Conrad Belly flashback stuff in season two is top tier for me. Kissing You by the Fire.
I know. That was great. Kissing You by Desiree.
Desiree. I say Desiree, but tomatoes, tomatoes.
Well, how do you say it?
I don't know.
It's D-E-S apostrophe R-E-E. I don't know how you say it, but I am living. Yeah, well, it's over. But it's not because there's a movie. What's going to happen in the movie?
They're going to get married.
Well, what's Jeremiah going to do in the movie?
He's going to open a restaurant.
Bake a cake? Yeah. He's going to bake the wedding cake? That's going to be his way to like give his blessing, like when Dawson gave Joey the picture of her and Pacey kissing at the Christmas party.
He's going to poison that cake and everyone's going to die.
Conrad will never be Pacey. Know that.
Conrad will never be Pacey, but Conrad will be Conrad, and Conrad is good enough for me. And I get it. And like, I'm not attracted to him myself. I just
want... You're attracted to him on behalf of other people.
Just want him to be with Belly.
Oh, you think he's attractive for her?
Yeah. I think their chemistry is off the charts. I really do.
I don't agree.
Oh, I think it is. I don't know.
If I had a gun to my head, I would pick Conrad. But if there's no gun involved...
I'm not thinking about it twice.
You know who I like? The blonde friend. What's her name?
Taylor.
Taylor. Belly and Taylor. That's the show.
Oh, love.
Spinoff movie. And her mom. Steven, Taylor, Belly, and Taylor's mom.
Lucinda.
That's the show. I'm watching that for 10 years. We're going into syndication. Lucinda opening that dance studio?
Do you mean hairdresser?
Lucinda opening up that hair studio, that hair salon? Writes itself.
Steven's cooking the books. I think Steven was really pretty good this season. Like season one, I don't think I was that impressed with Steven. I feel like he grew as an actor.
Sure. Happened to the redhead who was like, you're in love with a girl back home. Ugh.
Oh my God. She was obsessed. She was like, I know what it's like to be in love with someone who's not in love with me back.
Let's go do a cardio surgery. Look, it's never going to be Dawson's Creek. Well, we know that.
Look, all I'm saying is I really enjoyed it. And
that's okay.
And that's okay. And that's my right.
Look, you're entitled to your wrong opinion. Just kidding. No, I liked... Here's the thing. I was there every Tuesday, Wednesday. I had Amazon open. This is the only thing I watch on Amazon. I pay year-round for Amazon. This is the only thing I watch on Amazon. Oh, and overcompensating now. But I am a fan of the show. I am a fan of the show. I'm reading the book, first book right now.
Oh, my God.
Audiobook.
And that's the tea.
Sorry for being a Debbie Downer. But the music, 10 out of 10. Best music on TV.
Yeah, currently, for sure. So good.
Cranberries.
Everything. Amazing.
Amazing.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Any closing thoughts?
Episode 423 next week, the season four season finale. It's called Coda.
And I'm coming to Los Angeles. So maybe we can try to do it in person. See how it goes.
That would be, we should, yeah, it's going to be wild. We might try something new next week where we do like a live watch.
Bear with us.
It's going to be something new.
An experiment.
Yeah. Oh. 423 Coda, what's going to be our Dawson's drink? Which we can make like a batch of it and drink it together.
We're going to be drinking the Coda. It is gin, triple sec, and Kinato. I don't know what Kinato is. I mean, I know it's like an herbaceous thing. No idea what it tastes like, but you are in your gin era, so this might be for you.
I am in my gin era. I love a gin drink. And also, it's just crazy that this is the third episode in a row where the drink is the episode title.
Yeah, I know you love that.
Coda, Separation Anxiety, and The Graduate.
Killing it.
Well, I'm very sad that season four is coming to a close, but it's always exciting to get a season done.
Yeah. And we're coming up on 5 and 6, which are the ones that I know the least. Like, I've rewatched 5, but I genuinely don't think I've rewatched 6 since 2004.
Yeah, I've never rewatched 6. I've only watched the series finale, which I don't really consider to be a part of season 6. I consider it its own little movie.
All right. Well, I will see you next week.
All right.
All right. Bye.